Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Fried. It is so good to be back here with you virtually, Jordana. How are you? I saw you had a glamorous trip to Miami. We were two ships passing in the night. I'm down here in Florida.
Oh yeah. Were you in Miami for like a minute, right?
So I did a show in Fort Lauderdale. Thank you to everyone who came out. The show was a blast. And then I took an Uber down to Miami and stayed with my brother and his girlfriend, and I was like in their second bedroom. I was like the, you know,
they have two bedrooms. Wow.
I know. They're living
life down there.
It is.
It's funny.
It is.
No one in New York would ever have two bedrooms unless they literally were like ripping. They were like popping at the seams. They have six kids. They're like, I guess we should get a second bedroom.
we'll make the life choices that necessitate this second bedroom. Yeah.
I mean, I have two bedrooms, but that's because I live in Long Island City. So it's all.
Well, you've
done.
You've made the life choices that get you in the second bedroom.
Exactly. But that's great. That just goes to show Florida. Better world down there.
I mean, it is, especially this time of year, and I hate this person, and I hate the person that's like, because I know it is cold. I know that it is.
Yeah.
New York is.
It's a little cold here.
It's a little cold. I've heard, and I will say it is this time, because I hate the person. You know that person that's like, goes on vacation once, and it happens to snow back in the Northeast?
Right.
And they take the picture of like
what
a palm tree.
What snowstorm?
Like, yeah, is it snowing? Like the biggest piece of shit move. Like right. It's like people back home are literally shivering with a blanket over them, and they're like, "Oh, did you have a little snow?" It's not even like it's
never Monday.
Yeah. Fuck off. I don't ever want to be that person because how's your Monday? So it is such a douchebag new money move. Rich people never do that shit. It's always a hotel you could have been staying at. So it is even more annoying. It's not even like.
Don't show anything, I feel like. Real
nothing.
Old money doesn't show anything.
No. Old money don't show its hand. They literally, that's what makes it more annoying because it'll be like the Marriott will be tagged. It's like, I could have fucking stayed there. Shut the fuck up. You know, like it's not. A big deal at all. And so I understand. I don't want to sound like I'm in Boca. I'm in, my parents' house. And then I go stay with them. And it's like this time of year, you go, oh, what are we doing in the Northeast? Because second bedroom, I come out. I'm like the sitcom fat hungover brother staying with his like brother, like his handsome brother and his beautiful girlfriend. And I waltz out to like the living room like, you know, and they're just like doing like it was like Monday morning and they're like running off to work. And I'm like, you got any sweet and low? You know, like I'm the doofy loser.
Yeah, so, I mean, here's the thing. May to December, New York. Amazing.
A-okay. Great. The place to live. I agree.
Yeah, totally cool. January to April kind of is here.
It's brutal. And I could even shorten that. I'll even say March if gets okay.
March can sometimes you still get the snowstorms and you're like, I thought it's like, and then it's like, you know what I mean? March is kind of.
It hits you in a different way. You're like, I thought we were done with this.
Right. It's already been months of this. I'm like very over it. And it's the first day of spring and it's snowing. Yeah. You know, that happens sometimes.
That happens every now and again. And then it goes the other way in the fall where you're like, is it cold? It's cold. And then the next day is summer. But I definitely have this moment here where I'm like, it drizzled yesterday and I was like, oh, I can't even go to the beach. And then I was like, I can't even text that to someone right now. It's 10 degrees back home and the sun hasn't shown its face. But how are you doing back in dreary old Manhattan. Are you okay? What's going on?
I wish
on?
I was in Manhattan. No. Poor man's Manhattan. Is what
I don't
they call.
Think. Yeah, I don't think you're ever going to be part of the Long Island City Tourism Bureau.
Exactly.
Jordana.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I feel bad because I'll get an angry DM. I weep. Some people love it here. Like, fine.
Good for you.
Yes. And I live here, so I can talk shit about it. Okay, I'm not
That's
like
right.
a passing
you're in
visitor.
It.
Exactly. Mm-mm. Things are. I mean, I've been back a couple days. Things are cold.
Yeah.
And but it's nice to be. It's always nice to be back in your own bed. No
that's
matter where you
deal.
Are, right?
Totally. You know, totally, that's a huge deal. Doesn't matter where you are. Even sleeping at my brother and his girlfriend's place, like, very much a visitor, you know, very much, like, out of a bag, all that stuff. But, you know, it is, I actually switched my location on Hinge to this area.
Oh, yeah? What's the scene,
you know,
like?
It's just to see. I mean, like, it's like that curiosity thing and... The scene, I don't know. I guess it's the same. I don't know. It's a little bit. It is one of those things where you know, if someone's out there getting disappointed with dating apps in general, like, it is not about you at all. Like there is someone on the other side. Like, I've been here for what, 2 weeks, and I could go on a date, but I'm like, I do have that moment where I go, am I gonna leave the house? Am I gonna drive? You know,
even there.
Have a drink, even here. So it's like, you don't, you know, you're dealing with me, you know, like,
right.
On the other end. So, like, I don't know. I hope, I don't know if that comforts people, well, but I've had a couple matches and been very nice, and it's just been kind of like, I don't even know what to do with it. And maybe
right.
that's unfair. Maybe I shouldn't even switch it, but it's like, all of us are curious, I guess.
I feel like there's this thing with the dating apps where it's like, so I feel you. I hear the same thing from so many people, and I remember feeling the same thing where it's just like, it feels like this like bottomless rut pit of like, how do I get out of it? You know what I mean? How do I get off this thing?
Like, yeah. I'll say, from being back on it and having been away from it, like, you know, you and I are more in touch with these things than most people have to be. Like, we think about, our job is to think about these things.
Right. And I try to think of an answer to this question, because I feel like this question that comes up probably in Q&As to you and me and in emails that we see, where it's like, I just don't know how to, like, get, like, the apps don't seem to be working. How do I, like, get out of this? And it's a really hard question to ask, because it's like, how do I get what I want without using the tool that everyone says just go on that?
Well, that's the thing. I've thought about this a lot, actually. It's the easiest thing to use and the worst tool to use. So it's like, the Phillips head is right at your fingertips, but you'd really want the power drill. And it's like, the easiest thing is not the best thing. The app is actually the worst way to meet people. I've been thinking about this a lot, because I'm like, it's just there. It's like junk food.
But it's also kind of like, it evens the playing field. So in some ways, it's like, the idea of it is good. Like, the idea of, like, monster.com, right? That's where you apply to jobs, right? Mm-hmm. So you could apply to as many jobs as you want. It's very easy to apply. But, like, you're not getting any of those fucking jobs. You got to, like, know someone. It kind of
totally.
Feels like,
and you have to do the other stuff that is embarrassing and anxiety producing. Like, yeah, the monster.com is like, it's the middle of the night and no one sees it, and you apply to 1,000 and there's no whatever. That's the same as a dating app. You could pick it up at 1 a.m, swipe, 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 like, message, message, message. But it's really, there's
and
no
you think you're trying,
consequence.
But it's,
and you think, yeah, but you're not. It's just and it ends up, I guess, like, over, and I'll say this for myself, you are putting in, it's like when you half try at something, you end up feeling worse for it. Like, I feel worse about dieting and exercising when I'm also getting fucked up and eating late at night.
Right, because you don't know, like, where to put, you don't know, like, what bucket to put yourself in. You're like, am I, like, on a roll with being, like, am I doing it? Or am I, like, do I think I'm doing it and I'm not doing it, which is so much worse than not doing it. So much better to be, like, I'm not dating right now. Because then at least you know where you are.
I've had those like moments of like, do I just delete, start fresh, get out of this world? And I've had those moments, and you go, I'm kind of hooked on these French fries, you know, like, right. I'm kind of hooked on the dopamine that it does. It has infiltrated my Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook dating app. You know, it's infiltrated that merry-go-round of mine. And it's right. like, and I was out of that, you know, like I was, and I said to you, remember when I like was like going back to being right, single, we I was like, I'm not doing a dating app. I don't need it. And it's just like, and now it's in the circle, and I'm like, what am I even doing on this thing? And even though I'm on it, and I also think dating apps are wins and losses, which is so hard. Like, you either get the match or you don't get the match. You either talk to someone and it turns into a date or it doesn't, and this person doesn't want a date. I don't know. It's like, it's so black and white when really things like, and it can only lead to misery, highest of highs, lowest of lows, you know?
Right. So what is your, as someone in it, what do you feel like is like, obviously, like, what do you feel like would be a helpful thing for, that you've found? Anything?
There's no hope. We're all going
to
die.
Just to end this little intro positively, yeah. Potentially.
Yeah, I don't. I guess the positive way to go about it, I think the negativity is what produces the positivity. Like, I really do believe, like me talking about this, when I hear back from people being like, I know, it's annoying, like, that kind of makes me feel better. Okay. I also think, like, I do stand by the idea of, like, you know, one of our recent You Up With Benefits, where you could subscribe on Apple, $3 a month, no ads. You get them a day early. We do great. two additional podcasts a month. Our last recent episode is How to Set Jared Up. The setup, I mean, is the king. But the reason it's the best is because it's the hardest.
Right. It's the hardest to get a good one.
It's the hardest to get a good setup, to have someone set you up properly. It's hard for someone to have someone that they're thinking of right away for you.
Right.
But the setup is the best. It's the most fruitful as far as like numbers game is. Like, for every 10 people your friends set you up with, I would think that that's going to work out in a right. better way than every 10 matches you get on a dating app. So totally. I would say, like, I've been thinking a lot about that, like, you know, meeting people in that natural market type of way, but also understanding that that's a longer road, and maybe chill out, maybe, you know, not worry about it as much. But I do think, like, this is the time of year people worried about it. Like, I do understand, like, you know, no one wants to leave their couch.
There's less distractions.
There's less distractions. You're right. I don't know. You know, we like, you know, you and I, and, you know, we've talked about, you know, the setup stuff, and, you know, you've been very nice to be like, oh, you know, I have a couple friends here. I've been thinking about that. You know, your mind is on it. For me, I do know that you have my best right. interest in heart. But it also is one of those things where you go, that's you know, you don't want to, like, keep shaking the same trees. And I understand that there's people out there that, like, have friends that have, like, tried
the tree?
In the past. You're a tree.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, I know. Okay. So it's like, for me, it's like, fine. I know in my peripheral circle, I know probably like 7 single girls. Right. Mm-hmm. And what I do when any kind of man becomes single, or any kind of woman becomes single, is I think about mm-hmm. those people and would any of them align with each other. And
but here's the thing before you go into this, because I think what people need to hear is, like, your friends aren't not thinking of you. Like, I do think right. I would rather you go through this thought process than not. Like, I actually appreciate
you like it.
This.
Okay. Good.
Love it. Like, yeah. If you were like, here's 7, take your choose, I'd be like, I would be as unexcited as I was the dating app.
That's the thing. And it's like, I love setting people up, especially like when it works out. But it's, I don't want to set you up just for, or set anyone up just for the sake of setting. Especially the more I know about the people in my life, if I know that there's going to be something that one of you is not going to be into the other, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, then I'm not doing it, because then it's just awkward.
Totally.
Like, then it's just because one of you is going to either say no, and then I've already told the other person, Or it's kind of just like, you'll go on the date and I know that you won't like this about them. Because I only try to set up people that I know somewhat, to an extent.
A proper setup is when all three parties are excited. That's a all right. Three. Not two, not one. If it's one, we're all fucked.
You know? Right.
It's three. But I think, you know, I'm saying this because I'm publicly single. I'm on a date. Right. A podcast with you. We talk about this every week. We're personal about our lives. We tell stories. I'm putting out tweets about it. You know, we are publicly public, and then I'm publicly single. So I think that's my advice to people out there. Start being publicly single. Like,
right.
Jordana, you're doing the math for me, which I know you're doing as a friend, but I also don't have to ask you to do that. So I think there's a lot of people out there that are like, all my friends are married. None of them are setting me up. And they can get down on that. But I think, like, they are thinking of you.
They are. And I think, yeah. They're definitely, I think we're definitely thinking, or at least I am, but I think that there are a lot of people who, or would, even if they it hadn't come to mind. If you say, like, hey, do you know anyone? Mm-hmm. I think that's how, I mean, when I met Mike, I said to my friend had a new boyfriend. I said, do you know anyone? Mm-hmm. And he set me up with someone else before Mike. That wasn't that into me. And then he set me up with Mike. And it was like, I'm saying, but I had to, he didn't just naturally be like, he wasn't naturally like, who can I set this girl up with? It was kind of like, I said, like, do you have any friends?
I think that's a good thing for people to hear. This is publicly single season. This is not, you know, you can be privately single in the summer. Easy to be privately single in the summer. Publicly single season. I think this is the season for that. And I think it can help for people to hear that.
I think there's a hesitancy because it's like, oh, I want to be chased. I want someone to like beg me to set me up with their friend. But like, that's not really the world that we live in. Like, no one really wants to like beg someone to go out with someone else.
No, not at all. And I mean, again, like, I think that's an old school way to think, too. I think you're right. That's like just not of the times. I think if we think of like millennials, let's think of our generation. Like, we like to Google. We like when something is served to us. Oh, this is something you would like. If you bought this, you might like this.
Right.
Like, I think we're all more apt to being Amazoned into a couple than we are to be like Chase. Hey, if you like me, you might like my friend. I think that's the type of, like, I think we get more excited by that and kind of like, you know, the algorithm, you know, like, I've been referring to the algorithm as father algorithm because I pray to it every day. But father algorithm.
Find me the one.
Yeah, like your friend is an algorithm of sorts.
Right. No, definitely. And I think it does help. Before we get into our first email, I just want to say that I do think it helps your openness with what you're doing, because I think, like, by all standards, anyone you would ask, you're a catch, right?
I appreciate that.
You know what I'm saying? You're a very funny, attractive, like, talented person. No. But I'm saying, like, if you, as Jared, and you have 250,000 Instagram followers and you have a huge following and most of them are women, if you are having trouble, you know, like, or if you kind of seem to sometimes be struggling with apps or dating, I think that, like, that's saying it's not about being good or bad or not be, you know what I mean? It feels like it's not a measure of your worth.
You're not doing something wrong. And we get that question a lot. Like, what am I doing wrong? And it's like, that's never the answer. Well, you're fucking up here. You know, like, it's very rare that we look at someone like, oh, this is wrong. There is no wrong. You know, like, is there anything else going on at Betches that people should know about?
You know, we've got the U Up crew. I've seen a ton of pictures of people wearing that. Get it, shopbetches.com. Just go to the U Up section.
It's so comfy.
It's great. I'll be wearing it all winter in the 18 degree New York weather, and I'm sure you'll be wearing it when you come back.
I have it tied around my waist every day in case it gets a little cool. I'm gonna come back on Sunday. I don't know. I could do Boca. I mean, legit, like, my mom walks into restaurants and goes, freezing! Like, I can only do that for so long. You know, like I can only, but I'm coming back on Sunday, the Sunday before this comes out. And then I'm going to be in West Nyack, New York. Come on out. I'm there for a lot of shows. So come on out. And then Philadelphia, love Philly, fill those shows up. And then I'm going to LA. I'm get back to the good weather. Oxnard, California, Brea, California, Los Angeles, California. So I'm coming. That's the first week of February. And then I'm in Sacramento and then Hartford. And then after Hartford is the worst date of the year.
Oh, wow.
My birthday, February 20th. We're coming up on it. The anniversary of the worst date of the year.
Most awkward but yet real conversation of our podcast.
We have to replay that on the 21st. We're going to put it out again.
Yes.
San Francisco. And then I'm in San Francisco, Pittsburgh, Omaha, jaredfree.com, jaredfree.com for tickets.
What are you doing for your birthday?
No plan as of yet. I don't know. Since you dubbed it the worst day of the year, I just have a coffin out and I light candles.
You should have a party. Reinvent the day as the non-worst day of the year.
Maybe I'll do that. A big party. You guys will be invited. We'll do a whole thing. I think we should.
That would be fun. You only turn 37?
Oh, you had to remind me. Sorry. No, yeah, 37.
You only turn 37 once. It's a big one.
That's right. This is a big one. It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real. I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at bowlandbranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, bowlandbranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details. What are we talking about today, Jordana?
Okay. We're talking about dating a sober person.
You ever dated a sober person?
No, I haven't. But I would, in theory, in my head. Have you?
I would. I've been the sober person. I've been on like the date.
Is that like 2 weeks in January?
Yes. Not to like, yeah. Not to make it a big deal, but like I have been on the date as the person.
It was one day that I was hungover and I didn't have a drink and I was the sober. I don't know if that's the thing.
I just had a water. That person really got duped. You know, now looking back.
Yeah, I think you're sober. But you've never dated the sober person, but you've been the sober person.
I've never dated a sober person. But I mean, we're going to speak for them now, which is okay. It's
to the best of our abilities.
The best of our ability.
All right, let me read the email.
Go for it.
Hi, J&J. Love the pod, and so does the group chat. That's great.
Love it.
I recently moved from a big city on the East Coast to the Midwest for work. Of course, just about everything here is a huge culture shock. What I didn't expect is how many people list no alcohol on Hinge, as in they don't drink. A guy who listed not drinking asked me out for drinks via an app a few months ago. I felt so awkward being the only one getting a drink on the date that I panic insisted to pay for the evening. The second date, we got sushi and water and then never spoke again. LOL. The thing is, I'm not even a big drinker. I'm not one to have a glass of wine at the end of the day or a drink at home alone. My dad doesn't drink, and I feel fine going home and crushing martinis with my sister for the holidays. It's like saying, my dad doesn't drink, but I'm good drinking, binge drinking with my sister. Okay.
Yeah. I'm okay being a drunk mess in front of my dad.
Right. Yeah. Adjacent. I'm faced again with two more matches I would like to go on a date with who do not drink per their profile. I'm clearly holding a drink in at least two of my photos, so I'm assuming it wouldn't be a problem to them that I drink. It seems that for all of these matches, it is not in response to a previous problem, but a personal choice of another variety. Whatever the reason, I'm totally cool with it, but I don't know how to navigate the situation like a mature adult, which I think I am in other aspects of dating thanks to you, and not feel awkward ordering a drink. Plus, this really kills my usual text me if you want to get a drink line to get off the apps. It's one of those things that 10 dates from now I wouldn't even think twice about, but in the short game seems like a huge deal. J&J, please tell me, what's a girl to do? Do I ask about it or just ignore it? Should I try to avoid alcohol activities until I feel more comfortable with them? Am I just massively overthinking this? Cheers. Dry for not just January.
It's a great email. Totally get it. It's funny that, like, when I read this email, there's a lot of, like, lessons to be learned for someone not dating. Like, this doesn't have to be about dating someone sober to me.
Yeah, I totally thought the same thing. Like, this could be about anything that someone else does that you don't do.
Yeah, and I also think their perspective is off.
Okay.
Like, the way they're looking at dating right now, and the idea that she went on a date and she described it as sushi and water, that wasn't a good date. You know, like no one walks away from a good date. It's like, yeah, we got sushi and water. Like, that's not the memorable part.
Right.
Right.
No, I agree.
So that alone.
He's blaming it on the drinking.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, it's not the drinking. It's like, you don't need a drink to be social. Just like she said in this, I don't need a drink to be social, which is I'm going to buy her at her word, because she even says, like, I'm not a big drinker. Like, it's not even a big deal to me. Like, why? So I think what she's doing, you know, when this other thing comes up, it's this weird, but not weird, this very human thing where you're like, it must be that. Well, it's like, no, right. It's that you're not the match.
Yeah. No, I can agree with that. I mean, here's the thing. I think that, like, if you're not a big drinker and you don't mind dating someone who doesn't drink, I do think if you go on the date, you shouldn't drink. Or, like, you don't need to drink.
Oh, really?
To me. Like, that's how I think I would think of it. Because, like, I don't think it's fun to drink by myself, personally.
I'm with you as well. But I kind of thought about this as, like, if you ordered...
Like, ordering meat?
Well...
Let's say you're with someone who's a vegetarian, and you are not. Let's change it.
I would order meat. And yeah. I'd be like... But I also... Yeah, I would order meat, I guess, but that's a little different than, like, me getting, like, slurring. If you're going on a date and getting hammered,
well, that's not really
the goal of a date either.
I guess if you go on a date and you have one drink because you enjoy just having a drink, then, yeah, that's fine, and you could still be compatible. But if you're, like, I don't know, to me, I just wouldn't find it to be that much fun to have a drink alone.
Don't you think, I agree, listen... Don't you think that's a responsibility of the person that doesn't drink? Like, if I was like, hey, let's go do something, and they were like, just let you know I don't drink, I don't mind. It's like, to me, to go back to the ordering thing, like, if I was, like, ordering a soup that was normally on the menu, if I was like, yeah, I'll have the clam chowder, and they're like, we're out of clam chowder, I wouldn't be like, oh, I'm sorry for even asking for that. Like, it would be up to them to... tell me there's no clam chowder and here are some other options.
Right. Okay.
I think, and to me, when I read this, she wrote like to me, it's like not her problem. Like to me, it's her solution. Like if you're willing to go out with someone who doesn't drink and then they do nothing to assure you to figure out kind of a different plan.
I see what you're saying. Right.
There's a point where you go, am I really attracted to someone who like kind of left me out to dry?
So you're saying if you're the sober person going out, you should sort of like when you get there, be like, by the way, I'm not drinking, but totally cool if you are. Like, I'm totally fine with it.
I don't want to say should because I don't know what it's like to be sober. I can understand that some of this, like, I mean, I would assume that this conversation would happen over the dating app, and if it's not, then these aren't. This isn't
sounds like it's not
a per. it sounds like it's not. Like,
right.
She's taking assumptions away from, and she even wrote, like, the not drink, no to drinking. She even just put the emoji of a wine glass with no. So she's just reading into their profile. To me, it's like, it's up to, you know, you should go on the date and do a date as you would and as you would be comfortable. So it's like if they went on the date and go, and you say, and they say, I'll have a Diet Coke, and you go, oh, you're not drinking? And then they're like, well, I actually don't drink. You go, okay, I'll go get a Diet Coke too, because that makes me feel more comfortable. It's up to you.
Right.
To me, it sounds like her email is written from the perspective of, how do I get these non-drinkers to like me?
Right. Or, I mean, there's a difference between how do I get these non-drinkers to feel comfortable around me and how do I get these non-drinkers to like me? But I guess they're sort of the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Because she should just act like herself, how she would act. Although I do think that, like, you can change how you act depending on who you're with and like the vibe. Or like I said, like I would find it not much fun to like order a drink by myself. Like even when I go out to dinner with Mike, like if he's not drinking, I like don't really need to drink either. It's kind of like we're going out and we're having a bottle of wine or we're doing this together or we're like this is just a food outing. Do you know what I mean? But he'll drink if I don't.
But the sexiness, sometimes the sexiness of a date is having those drinks together, getting a little buzzed, you know,
right.
Well, on that's the part, same that's what I'm track saying. Together. That's part of it. Yeah.
So I don't know. It's like it's a different dynamic. And like, kind of like, I guess with him, he'll drink if I'm not drinking. He doesn't really care if like, you know, if I'm not. But for me, it's like, and I think that depends on like how big of a drinker you are. And if you do want to get a drink without, while they are not, maybe alcohol is like a little more important to you than you. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I'm just saying maybe you're not a match with these people.
I went for drinks. I went for drinks with this woman and she was very nice. We get the first drink. I was like, hey, do you want to get another drink? Totally. I'm down. And then it was like, we're having a nice conversation. And I'm like, you want to have another drink? I'm like, I'm kind of like just sitting here. And she was like, no, I'm good. And I was like, that's the end of the date. You know, like I was just like, that's okay. You know, and I kind of saw that. And I was like, you know, I guess for me, it was a thing of like, yeah, I'll have another drink. We're hanging. We're out. Like this is how I have fun. And that's not how they have fun. And I kind of walked away from it being like, I guess we're not the match.
Because she didn't have another drink?
I don't think it was because she didn't have another drink, but I was like, it kind of felt like a, what do we even do next? You know, like we weren't eating dinner. In my mind, it was the conversation kind of ended with those drinks, you know, in the way they could have ended with coffee. Like if she was like, I'm not getting a third cup of coffee, it would have been the same type of thing, I think.
Well, that's why I think it's also hard to date sober. It's so ingrained in all the societal aspects of our life that like I can see it being a real challenge, and I don't want to like undermine that for anyone who's listening. I think that that's thing, but I agree, like I think people should act like themselves, and if they're naturally like a casual drinker but they're fine with, that's what I'm saying, like I kind of feel like if I'm totally sober and I'm going out and the person wants, what are they going to order, two or three drinks? Like, well, I'm not. Like, I think that you can date someone who drinks, but you probably can't date someone who drinks and gets drunk at dinner.
No. And, you know, it's interesting. You're like, if I had, you know, I kind of see this as like, if we were to look at the positive in this, like if I was on a date with someone who was sober, I would want to be led a little bit. And I would want to know, because I've never done this. I'm assuming you have done this. So it's like
gone out with someone who drinks, right? You're more likely to have gone out with someone who drinks than I am to have gone out with someone who doesn't drink.
Yeah. So I would be a little turned off if the person just let me kind of like sit there and drink during dinner and not know what to do.
Right.
But I also wouldn't sit there and have a bottle of wine by myself. I would hope not.
You know, like, right. But if that's kind of what you like to do on dates, if you like to split a bottle of wine or have your own bottle of wine, like you might just not be a match.
That's, so I, that's I think a that, thing.
Right. And I think that's all to say what you originally said is correct, in that she should be herself. And like, if it doesn't work out, even if it's because of the non-drinking, it's because you weren't, the amount that you drink, good or bad, is more than that person would like to be, the person that that one person wants to date will be. And that's fine.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I kind of thought about this with like situations I've gotten into with comedy. Okay. Where, and I was thinking like, because I do think there's opportunity in this. I do think I don't drink. And if someone, like for me, I would be turned off if the person who doesn't drink didn't explain, you know, what they would like to do so that I can like see if that's something I would like to do. You know what I mean? Like I would want to be led a little bit. I was messaging with this person on a dating app and the messaging kind of fizzled. And then they wrote to me, "You're all over my For You page on TikTok."
Okay.
So I go.
I guess I'm for you.
That's a good line. They wrote, "You're all over my For You page." And I wrote, "You must be a big Bachelor fan." And they wrote back, "Pretty funny."
Okay.
And I was like, unmatch immediately.
You unmatched. Okay.
Gone. And it's why? Like, some. I'm not dating pretty funny person.
Okay.
I'm not doing that. I'm not proving myself. I'm not going to start dancing on the street with a clown nose on. Like, I did have that thought in my mind of like, and I don't need someone to like come on and tell me like I'm the greatest thing in the entire world. I want someone to be fun to talk to. That's not a fun conversation to me of like pretty fun, like to get negged kind of. Like, I don't need that. You could have just said nothing. Hey, you're on my For You page. Pretty cool.
Right.
Or that you like the video. Like, oh, yeah, the video is great. You know, to just say, you know, like and that was a moment where I was like, okay, this kind of fished out our match in terms of this.
Which is a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
So I had no problem unmatching, no harm, no foul. You know, it's okay. I'm still talking about it, but I'm on a podcast that's about dating, so I'm okay. I don't think I sound so crazy, but I...
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like...
It's kind of like, I mean, it's such a cliche, like cheesy thing to say, but being yourself is going to save you so much time.
So much time.
Because and I used to do this kind of like, well, I wanted the person on the date to like me. So I would try to act more like the person on the date would think that I should act, or the answers that I think that they would like. And then you just like, that person can keep dating you, but then eventually they find out who you are.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Thinking back to your wedding, like what's the most the thing that was referenced from your first date is you guys playing, you know,
games,
playing games and playing red flag deal breaker.
Yeah. Or would you rather? Yeah.
Would you rather? It was something from, but it's like, that's something you have an interest in, a genuine interest in. That's something that you were, you know, that is, and look at, that's the thing you're talking about. You know, a couple years down the line.
And I'm sure I would have gone, some guys I would have gone out with would have been like, this is making me uncomfortable. Like, I'm not interested in going out again, which would be a good thing. Do you know what I mean?
And their discomfort would have turned you off. That's the thing where it's like, this person's discomfort with you having a glass of wine when they're not drinking, that's kind of gets you out of there.
Right. So the best way to save your own time is to just be exactly who you are.
Yeah, whether they're drinking or not. Exactly. And maybe not have a bottle of wine because it's not a good one.
Potentially.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you to achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Let's do some awkward sex. You ready?
Let's do it.
Keep sending this in, UUP@Betches.com, UUP@Betches.com. Awkward sex. We love an awkward sex. Hi, J&J. Big fan of the podcast. My sister got me hooked on it, and I've been addicted ever since. I have quite the awkward sex story that I would love your thoughts on. Sorry that it's so long. I was just starting my junior year of college, and my sorority hired a new houseboy.
I've never heard of this.
I've never heard of such a houseboy.
Right?
What is that?
I've never
it
heard of that.
It sounds very old, very...
Houseboy. It sounds like controversial.
It sounds like, yeah, please, this is how the email's written. We don't know what it is. it does sound controversial. For those that don't know, a houseboy is another college-age kid hired to work in the sorority kitchen for some extra cash. Okay, other than the name,
yeah,
it seems like a good idea. I like the spirit.
I don't mind the idea, but I would rebrand if I were if I were hiring maybe, for a houseboy.
Maybe house attendant? That could be nice.
Yeah.
It's basically like working a restaurant job, except with an assurance that you'll meet girls. It was a pretty coveted job among the frat community. Anyways, I never paid much attention to the houseboys, apart from making courteous small talk with them in passing, or when I handed them my dishes after a meal. Excuse me, houseboy, I'm done with my food now. Yeah, ding, 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 ding. Yeah, this is...
What kind of sorority is this? You have like a waiter at the sorority table?
I mean, this, she writes, LOL, this makes me sound so pretentious, but I swear this was normal. I mean, you could look them in the eye.
Right. I'm done.
Plus, the houseboys were normal, pretty quiet, generically nice. I like that she's like, I sound pretentious, but I swear I'm normal. Then she's like, they're generically nice or unattractive. So I never expected much of an interaction.
Okay.
I don't speak to the houseboy.
The houseboys.
Boys.
Like, there, how many were there?
Yeah. Plus, the houseboys were pretty pretty quiet. Generically nice, just a hilarious way to put that. Or unattractive, so I never expected much of an interaction. I had noticed this new houseboy, however, because he was super cute. But I still didn't try to initiate any conversation. Because he was so poor. No, I'm kidding. Then after dinner on his first night working, he came up to me and was like, hey, what's your name? And she's like, don't speak to me. No, I'm kidding. That's
Don't look me in the eye.
Right? And made really sincere eye contact. I mean, that's hilarious. I answered, and then somehow we got into a 20-minute long conversation. But what could we have in common? Me and a commoner.
Sounds like Aladdin.
Right? I learned he was a forestry major. He's cleaning plates, and now he's talking to the ladies. I learned he was a forestry major 1 year younger than me and from California. He was very charming and eventually asked me out to a party. I accepted, gave him my number, and then ran upstairs to tell my friends.
Guys, I mean, this I'm is loving it.
He's wearing American Eagle. Isn't it cute?
Amazing.
I this is Dirty Dancing, like the redux. Like, this is the remake of Dirty Dancing.
Basically, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I learned he was... That's okay, true. So... I accepted, gave him my number, then ran upstairs to tell my friends. We ended up hooking up for about 3 months and having an absolute blast. He was really chill, fit, outdoorsy, kind, had sexy tattoos. Oh my God, this is
Dirty Dancing.
What's the song from Dirty Dancing? It's
Time of My Life.
Had the time of my life, and I never had a dirty dish again. And he I would pick him up. It's the truth. And I owe it all to you. I wasn't looking for anything serious, but was down to keep it.
It was a very quick transition.
Very good. I wasn't looking for anything serious, but was down to keep it going as long as it was fun. We kept things pretty casual, but everyone in my sorority obviously knew that we were hooking up, so I'm not sure if that was actually casual. Ha ha. I think that's still casual. Your friends aren't there. Like, what are you getting married? Like, what are they, assholes?
You don't have to lie to your friends for something to be casual. Sounds like a very...
I can't believe I told them I was hooking up with the pool. The week before we left for winter break, I went over to his house and we started hooking up. It was getting steamy, and right as he was about to insert, he pulled away, ran to his window, and pulled back the curtain very dramatically. He stared up the sky and yelled, "Fuck!" I turned towards him super confused and asked what's wrong. He said, "It looks like a full moon," and then proceeded to open up his phone and check some celestial app that confirmed it was 100% full moon, not slightly waxing or waning or whatever the fuck. So I just sat there and said, yeah, it's also a Tuesday. Then he came back over and said, "I can't have sex on a full moon." I burst out laughing, thinking it was a joke. His expression didn't lighten. It actually soured a bit, as if I offended him. He turned around, pointed to an intricate temple tattoo on his upper back, and said, "When I got this tattoo in Thailand from a monk, he told me it came with 10 commandments I cannot break." I paused, finally understanding he was serious. "Like what?" I asked. He replied, "Oh, you know, like, I can't eat meat on a full moon. I can't have sex on a full moon. I can't kill someone on a full moon, etc." I stifled a laugh so strongly I thought I was going to fart.
That's a beautiful line.
What a line. As if you can kill someone any other day and it's fine. Anyways, it dawned on me, pun intended, that he was not going to budge. So he came back over to the bed and we tied and untied and retied shoelaces until his boner went away. What the fuck kind of strategy is that, by the way? I have never heard of such a thing.
That's very weird.
That is a very high school boner strategy, because I can understand you're bending over to tie your shoes and untie your shoes, so it gives you time to relax. I do understand the thought behind it as a boner-having man.
To distract yourself from, like, sexual thoughts, you're saying? Also, maybe, like...
Well, when you tie your shoes, you're bending over, so your penis is blocked. The bunching of the pants can allow for you to have a boner while tying shoes. And then doing the task and undoing it and doing it is kind of taking your mind off. I think that's the...
Okay. Actually, doesn't seem like a bad idea.
Not a bad idea. Not something I would like tell my, you know, it's for other uses. Like,
what's the best way to do it? To get it to go down?
To get it to go down? I mean, this is a pretty good strategy.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I would usually just sit and wait it out, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not
this guy's trying to speed it
but
up.
I guess if you're trying to speed along the process, I get it. I left promptly because I was in such disbelief. When I got back home, I texted him goodnight and that I'd see him after the break. We exchanged some random pleasantries over the week, but he basically ghosted me when we came back to school, even though he was still our houseboy. Awkward, LOL. Now he's avoiding you.
Ooh.
Do you think his comment was real and things just fizzled because I didn't take his tattoo rules seriously? Or was he trying to come up with an excuse to break things off with me? Thanks. Cock blocked by a space rock. I love that name.
I would say he probably ended it because he didn't like being laughed at. Right?
Interesting. I mean, this is a wild circumstance.
This is very weird. I mean, you know, I've never heard of it, but I could also see it being like kind of like a college phase thing. Like, oh, I'm very into like a Thai, like, religious whatever.
It's weird of him to
folklore.
I'm a big folklore guy. It's weird of him not to admit this is a dumb thing, but he doesn't feel comfortable having sex because of said dumb thing.
Right. Really? You can do whatever kind of weird, to me, like, you can say or think whatever kind of weird shit that you want to think, as long as you acknowledge the elephant in the room.
Yes.
And a relationship can continue. And that's with, like, anything. Like, all you have to say is, "I know it's weird, but," or "I know it's irrational, but," and then everyone feels at ease. Do you know what I mean?
I could not agree more. It's the, that's what makes it seem like he was just trying to get out of hooking up. Like, I have had this scenario happen where you're with someone, it looks like it's heading towards wherever it's heading towards, and you go, and some little like thought comes in your brain, like, what are you doing, man? This ain't long term. Get out of here. And you're like,
financial aid to pay. Just get that contract.
You're gonna lose your house boy job. Yeah. So like I do understand, but this is such a wild story to come up with on the fly, to like point to a random tattoo and go, the monks, they told me I can't fuck on a night like tonight, and then start go look at the moon and be like, oh,
why not have sex
into a whale Rolf? Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Like in the range of excuses, wouldn't you want to, if you're already hard, is it an why wouldn't you just have sex?
Well, you think it was an excuse? I think it was I think they were hooking up and he was like, this is an ego thing. This is male ego on display. I think you're hooking up, you're like, and you get this like, what am I doing? I'm leading this person along, even though she's writing, listen, I trust everything she says in the email, but he's probably like, we've been sleeping together for this long. Every time we sleep together, I'm signing on to sleep together again. Winter break's coming up. If we don't sleep together tonight, it's long enough for me to like kind of ghost this and get away with it. And that's what he did. It's very immature, very ego-filled,
wow,
but that's kind of where I'm thinking he went.
There's so much more manipulation than I would have suspected involved in this.
Yeah, I
they get creative when they want to not be the bad guy,
right?
Like that's the most. It's like, why don't you channel this energy into planning a date?
Yeah, right. Or explain to someone that you like but you don't want to date that you don't want to date them anymore.
Right.
Like you could have put this into a text.
I just like the idea that like it's so hard for a man to just like put a lot of thought into like a birthday or anniversary, but they're like, okay, I want to stop sleeping with this person. I know what I'll do. I'll channel the Thai monk with the, you know, with the special tree.
Yeah. I'll get a tattoo. I'll figure out a way to like create a story around it. Yeah. I think also it's like horniness. Like he's horny. This person is down. He's attracted to them, but he's like, every time it could be when they hook up, he feels bad afterwards. And he's like, I'm not going to feel bad again. Fuck this. The moon, you know, like,
right.
I don't know. It feels like a last ditch effort. And usually when things end badly, it's a buildup of like other decisions in the past. So this feels like it was like a buildup to me.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I would say, I would call this nobody puts houseboy in the corner, and I just came up with that because of your Dirty Dancing reference.
I love it. I had Cinderella Man because he kind of left like Cinderella.
Okay.
The Curse of the Full Moon. The Werewolf Walk. Dirty Dancing Disaster.
I like that.
And then because I think this is kind of him blowing up and figuring out a way out of this hookup situation, the houseboy ploy.
Oh, I like that one. That's the best one.
Yes. I do think this happens in only to guys. Because
yeah,
I think
I've never
it's like,
felt that.
I think this does, and I think men would agree that there's a thing where you're like, we're having casual, you know, but like it's casual, but this can't, and I don't want this casual thing anymore, but I have this casual. So why would I ever turn it down?
Now I'm trying to think of like who has been doing this to me in the past.
Like, have you ever had like a weird, just like, and he left out
night?
Of nowhere?
I'm sure I have. I'm going to think about that and then tell you next week.
Okay.
Because now I'm going
to
be like, now I'm assessing all of my, all of the people who I feel like made me break up with myself. I'll think about it.
This isn't even a breakup with yourself. It's more like you're in bed and you're like, this is it. And then you go, I can't. We got to go. I got to go.
Yes. I just remembered. There was a guy, I feel like, who told me some very weird, fucked up story about himself, like right after we had sex. And that was
like
kind of the end.
That's the way to get out.
Like he was trying to turn me off.
Yes. I can't. And then
that's really funny. Wow, that's what he was doing.
Maybe.
I think he told me some story about like some girl that like, I don't know. It was weird. He was talking about some other girl after we like slept together, but like a weird story about her and like a fake pregnancy.
And you're like, why are you telling me this now?
Right.
Like,
yes.
This is a weird
it was, like,
time.
In yeah. bed post that. Wow. I should text him and tell him I know what he was up to.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
UUP at Betches.com. Let's do another email.
Let's do it. Hey, J&J, huge fan of all the things. I don't think you have ever covered dating a workaholic. Here's the deal. I met my partner 5 months ago and things are going great. We have so much fun together, great chemistry, and have similar values and life goals. The one area that's a consistent point of tension is how much they work. They have a very demanding job and are at the height of their career. They work about 12 hours a day and put in time on the weekends as well. We see each other pretty often, but it's typically on their schedule and involves me coming to their place always so that they can be near their work setup. At what point does this become an actual issue, or is this something I should be okay with? I love how ambitious they are, but now being in my mid-30s, I definitely appreciate a bit of work-life balance. We've spoken about it, and the response I get is, I was upfront about my work schedule when we started dating, and that I needed someone to be understanding. I think I'm plenty understanding, but I'm also allowed to have my moments where it becomes annoying. We've had canceled dates and weekend trips together due to their work, and I've had to take it on the chin. However, I think it's unfair to say that they disclaimed it when we met and assume I'm never going to voice my disappointment or frustration from time to time. Am I not allowed to express emotion about it ever? Bigger picture question I'm pondering is, how do we determine effort in a relationship? In the past, I've had partners think they're putting in effort by simply allowing me to be in their presence. Like, sure, you can come over. To me, effort is more so about going out of your way for someone and sometimes being inconvenienced, compromising, etc. And that being okay. I think it's pretty low effort if there isn't any stretch outside of someone's convenience. Is someone putting in effort if the course of the relationship's interactions is always on their schedule and their terms without a lot of inconvenience on their end? Thanks. Underprioritized bitch.
It's a great email. Good topic.
I have to say, this sounds like someone that you used to date wrote it in some ways.
I thought the same thing.
I feel like I've heard not just one person. I feel like multiple people, actually.
Yes, this is, I felt myself very much in this email. It's funny that you
thought
the same thing.
Someone could have written this about you, I think.
Yeah, about me. I totally agree. This could have been written about me, and I hope that I was never the person, but I can't really, I mean, I probably was. That's like, this is what you get, that guy.
Well, in some places, I think that's understandable.
Yes.
This isn't to say, this isn't to villainize you at all. I'm just saying, like, I know that this... This kind of thing happens in a lot of relationships. No, I'm saying I think this kind of thing happens in a lot of relationships. And I know that you, especially as someone with like a very intense work schedule, could say the same.
I don't want to like give more credit to my schedule than anyone else because everyone's busy. But I would also say mine's just at different times of the day and happens in a different way than most. You know, it's not 9 to 5 and it's not like, and I'm gone on weekends a lot.
And travel a lot.
And travel a lot. And then I've put people in a position where I'm like, you can come with me. And, you know, something I experienced was like, you could come with me to go, you know, when you're doing shows in LA is not the same as us going on vacation, which I totally understand. And I would understand, but I also, it's very hard. And I would say I can speak from the guy's point of view on this a lot as far as what frustrates me in the position of being accused as the workaholic.
Okay.
Like, I can say that, like, this person's email, like, triggered me in some sense because I'm like, there's a lot of things here where I'm like, then fucking leave. Like, because I don't mean to sound harsh, but I wrote down... Do you feel part of their life or an accessory to their life? You know, and that, how do you feel? Because you're saying underprioritized bitch is how you sign off, which I get that. But it's like, if you feel underprioritized in your relationship, then goodbye.
Right. Well, yeah,
that's a
horrible
thing to feel. Like that's a really bad way to be made to feel. And it's like, if someone's making you feel that way, then why aren't you unattracted enough to them to leave them?
Right. So you're saying, like, I think it's, I mean, I say what she's saying, like, I'm okay with the idea that this person works a lot, but I want them to still try or to show me that, like, that they care in some way, or that also that they understand why I might feel this. I think that's a big part of it too. Cause you could date someone with like a crazy schedule or any kind of issue or any kind of thing. And it's kind of like saying upfront, like, by the way, I work a lot and I need someone who can be okay with that. Or I might travel a lot, or I'm not necessarily like around normal hours and I need someone to be okay with that. Does that now not entitle the other person to still feel bad about that while wanting to date you?
Totally. I think what would frustrate me in these situations was that my version of trying wasn't trying.
Right.
Like, you can be upset with someone and still work with them to make a better relationship. That's not what I'm saying. You know, I agree with that. And you could say that, and that's kind of where it comes back to like accessory versus part of. Like, are they including you in their plans? Are you part of the wins of the workaholic lifestyle? Do they like consider you like, you know, a partner in this?
Yeah.
And are there perks? But then, you know, I mean, I've been in the situation where it's like, you know, let's go on vacation and then like, that I'll take away from what I'm doing. And it was like, well, this thing better go perfectly because I do all this other stuff that I hate doing for the other stuff
in
your work life.
The other person resents you. Which is not obviously not a capable thing long term. And I mean, I think of this like any other thing in a relationship, any other problem or a way you want someone to be a certain other way. So if I'm dating someone and they work all the time, and in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm not someone who like is obsessed in my, this isn't me, but like, let's say if I were like, if I were someone who's like, okay, I'm not someone who's like obsessed with quality time. I actually like my alone time. So like, maybe I could date this person, right? And then you're dating them and it sounds like you're dating them for 5 months, like this email. And you're kind of like, okay, like that's true, but I actually still feel like a little disconnected. So I think then what you have to do is say on your side, like, okay, what would make me feel like, what's my ideal? And then what am I like okay with bare minimum? And the other person has to do that too. Like, what's their ideal? And then what are they okay with bare minimum? And if the two of you have such, if are somewhere close to each other on that like bare minimum situation, then I think it could potentially work out. But if your bare minimum and their bare minimum are still very far away, then it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You're not a match.
And I'll say that, like, when I've dealt with this, you know, there would be discussions and what can we do? And then it always felt like a sneak attack. You know what I mean? Like, where I thought I was trying and doing the right things and then and thought I was like up front with everything. And then you get to like whatever, you know, now you're spending the time together and the time is being judged on a scale of the other things that you made them do or that you didn't do in the relationship. And in that scenario, I go, I like, this ain't, maybe
it's
isn't
not
the
fun
match.
Even when it's right. Because if it's not fun, even when you're doing the thing, like even when you're doing the thing that they want, it's still not, it doesn't feel good. And I can understand like the other side of it too, where you're like, your expectations are so much higher because you've been resenting this person for so long that you're like, okay, this is what's going to, in your mind, you're like, okay, this trip is going to like, it's going to like make me feel better. Like this trip is going to show that they care. And then you become hypersensitive to everything that's done and not done. And you're like, and it's not really a good way to live.
No. And yeah, I it's very hard. I wish I had a better answer other than sounding like kind of the bad guy in this scenario, because like, and you know, I personally, you know, me working a lot didn't like, my situation was always different than like a lawyer. Like if you're dealing, if you're dating a lawyer, there's like A plus B becomes C. Like you can say like, okay, I'm going to deal with it, you know, in these years.
And everyone knows that a lawyer has like a certain schedule too, kind of.
Certain schedule, and also like a certain expectation of like, you know, going to make a certain amount of money based on, or have a lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like and I'm not saying that this person's like, I'm not saying to people like deal with a workaholic because you could have two houses. Like I'm not saying that, but there's like the hard part, I think, in some cases is like when you sign up for this workaholic lifestyle, you have to be okay with the person and that lifestyle other than like what that could turn into in the future, because it might not.
Right. You're saying like when you're saying that, you're saying like you can't look at it as a means to an end necessarily.
Yeah. And because I
kind of
never
have to be with it, with it like that, indefinitely.
Yeah, because I'm personalizing it because I'm like, you know, and I have the work life balance. I've been like, it's been like my 2022 kind of goal is to be better at this stuff, and I'm still. I mean, we're a weekend. I'm not doing so great. But I
work too hard. I care too much.
That's right.
No, but it's true. I mean, like I could see it being very difficult for you to date someone who, one, did not like their own independent alone time.
And, that would be very hard.
And two, that didn't understand that you were not going to be around that much.
Yeah, and It's
or as much, potentially
lifestyle.
As much as they would like, ideally.
Ideally. And I kind of get in my head about that, about, I mean, my struggles, I think, with dating now have a lot to do with that, where you're like, I can't even promise date two. Why would I go on date one? You kind of get down that road of like, so that's why I'm trying to work on like the work-life balance to make sure, you know,
well,
take
my
these
question with you,
off a week.
Is it, because it's so easy to take this personally, and is it ever like, he would do it for something else, or if he cared enough, he would. Or is it ever like, you, do you know what I mean? Like, is it for lack of caring?
I have that thought in my own mind. You know, that's where I get like frustrated with myself. Cause I'm like, you know, this is such like a Jewish mom thing, like ringing in my ear where I'm like, you got time to have a drink, don't you? And it's like, and then you have this like thought back to yourself, you go, well, if I had time, you start beating yourself up. You're like, if I did care, I would care more than I would to.
But it's not good or bad. It's just like you figuring out your own preferences.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. But I don't think you're kind of judging your choices, but your choices are your choices. Like it's not a bad thing to say, I'd rather have a drink alone than have a drink with someone that I don't, that I'm okay, that I feel okay about. It's not a bad thing. Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah, you're right. That's a kinder way that I to look at it than I do.
Which is,
you know, and
well, you're judging yourself, but
sure.
But it's like whom? Like I guess it's like if you wanted a relationship badly enough, would you make the time? I guess that's really the like with anyone.
Yeah, and I think I would, but then I also think like. You know, there's a lot of things that like have happened for comedy. And I do think back and I'm like, if I had my foot off the pedal, this opportunity wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't have done this. You wouldn't have gone this. I remember like, you know, the Comedy Cellar, like what, you know, to get into the Comedy Cellar, you have to be recommended by two comedians. And there was a Saturday night and this is years ago that I wasn't booked at all. And I was like, really upset with myself. I was like, how you've been doing it this long, you're not even booked on a Saturday night, you fucking loser. And so I got out of bed. I mean, and
that's exactly how girls who want to date on a Saturday, sitting home alone on Saturday night feel.
That's how you don't even, yeah, right. And then I got out of bed and I went to the to Stand Up New York on the Upper West Side because like that was a club that was nice to me, and I was like, maybe someone won't show up and they'll be like, you can go on. And I went. And I remember there was a comic named Lenny Marcus who's hilarious. He mm-hmm. was there and he was like, he looked at me. He's like, you, what are you doing? I was like, he's like, are you, you should be at the Cellar. You should be doing shows there. And I was like, I would love to. And he's like, I'll recommend you. And then he ended up recommending me from me, like leaving that the house that night. It would have happened at some other time down the road, but you go, you know, if I was in a relationship, I would have gone and had dinner and drinks and not done that. You know, you have that thought, and it's like, especially with this, when you're, that's kind of the workaholic's, I think, mindset.
Yeah, well,
because
it's funny.
Do know it would have happened if I had not, it would have happened either way, but the way it happened wouldn't have happened if I was in a relationship. Does that?
The way that you describe that is the way that every girl dreams of describing the night she met her husband. You know, and if I didn't go, you know, I was feeling kind of down about, you know, being single and like someone invited me to this party and I like really didn't want to go. And then like, I just decided to go. I know a person with this exact story and they decided to go anyway because it was just kind of like whatever. And then they're there that night. You meet them that night where it's kind of like. And the way that you talk about that, the way your story is about this kind of thing.
Yeah.
You get, I mean, I see so much more excitement in your like face and your vibe than talking about like anyone you're dating. So I guess the question is, it's like, do you, I don't know, like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, is it just that it's just not that big of a priority for you? Because I do feel like it's, you don't, the way you talk about work, there's like a light in your eyes. And I've never kind of felt that vibe from you about any woman you were discussing. And I don't know if it's just like, maybe it's just not the time, like the time that you're looking for that isn't now.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, I give this advice out a lot where it's like, go out with your friends and the way you feel with your friends is the way you should feel with someone you're on a date with. And it's like the way you feel, you know, about the thing that, you know, like about getting into the Cellar 6 years ago now. Like, this is like, this is, you know, this wasn't yesterday.
No, it's a great thing. You know, that's what I'm saying. You still remember it because it feels like you're like so grateful and so like it might have changed the course of your life.
Sure. And, you know, so I guess like that's the feeling you're kind of looking for, but, and again, that kind of goes back to this email with this guy, like maybe he's not, this is it.
Yeah. Maybe this is not the time for him.
Yeah. And maybe it's not the time for you to be with someone who's doing this type of thing. You want to have to life too.
That's the thing. It's kind of like, if you can't meet somewhere in the middle to where you're both feel good about what you're giving or what you're giving up, which is the meaning of compromise. If their idea of compromise is not your idea, then it's not going to work.
I feel like I've been on the couch this episode. This is like a...
I hope that was... I mean, I didn't mean to...
It is helpful. No, it's helpful. I mean, It's also like this, like, you know, it goes back to like this time wasting thing. Like, you know, someone, we're going to do an interview with CNN, right? They had us answer that. They're looking for us to answer a question, and they mentioned something about like, is it ethical to bring up past relationships? And I was like, ethical? Like, everyone's going on dates to try. Like, in my answer, I didn't send it to you, but I sent it to send it in. But I was like, the calling it ethical is so hard on yourself. Like, no, you're just looking to be excited, you know? Like,
yeah.
And sometimes you find out that you're on a date and you go, wait a minute, I'm not excited because I'm still thinking of a past relationship. That can happen. And that's like, everyone's just trying to get to their version of excitement. I don't know. It's
yeah, and there's no right or wrong. I think if you take the judgment out of it, it's kind of like, I think with this email, it's like, is this person like the devil because they work all the time and they don't want to see you? Are they a bad boyfriend? It's like, that's a subjective thing. They are who they are, and you are who you are. And the way to find a match is that, like, you both are kind of like on the same page most of the time, which it just sounds like you're not, but it's not good or bad. That's, I think, where, like, no. People, because you want to like demonize someone and be like, or, and in a relationship, you do that all the time. You're like, if he's lazy, or he doesn't care, or he is using me, or he's manipulating me. It's usually just like, they are who they are, and you are, and you're just not working.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code podcast15.
Let's play some games.
Let's do it. All right. You want to do the first one?
I'll do the first one. Hi, Jordana and Jer. I've got a red flag deal breaker for you. It's about a guy I dated about 2 years ago. So my brother was getting married and we were staying with my parents at an Airbnb in the town where little bro was getting married. The guy I was dating, let's call him Jack, was a bit, how do you put it, crunchy granola. He's got his flip-flops on. He's got his hemp sweatshirt.
Cargo shorts.
Cargos. Friday night was the rehearsal dinner, which my parents put on. Super fun. Afterwards, we had a bunch of leftovers to bring back with us. Meat, veggies, bread, potatoes, all that. Yum. Jack made a comment to me at one point and said, sometimes it's hard for me to enjoy events like this because I can't help but think about all the food waste.
Okay. All the food
waste. What a downer after the rehearsal.
I don't think you guys
would
get along.
Yeah. No, him and I. I mean, I agree with the fact that wasting food sucks, but I would not say that it stands in the way of my enjoyment of super fun weddings and parties. So Saturday is the wedding. Great fun. Sunday morning rolls around and we're cleaning, packing up, getting reorganized at the Airbnb. My parents were about to throw away several plastic takeaway dishes full of leftovers. Jack looked like he was going to have a heart attack. My parents told us that they'd accidentally left the food out overnight, unrefrigerated, so sadly the food would have to be tossed. Bummer, but what can you do? Meanwhile, I'm packing up, taking a shower, etc. About an hour later, Jack and I are in the car heading home. All of a sudden, he pulls out a big plastic takeaway container full of leftovers. What? Where did that come from? I asked. He proceeded to tell me that he couldn't stand seeing it wasted, so he fished it out of the trash when no one was around. What is worse, this last part is sadly incorrect. My mom saw him fishing through the trash like a human raccoon. I was super grossed out and embarrassed. Even worse, the next day he got sick because the freaking food made him ill. The relationship didn't last much longer for several reasons, but I'm curious what y'all think about this one. Are you out?
Yeah, I would be out. I mean, that's just embarrassing, I think. Also, like, this person is obviously has some sort of complex or, like, lives in very extremes. And I couldn't be able to be with someone who lives in like that type of extreme.
I mean, it's rude. It's absolutely rude to bring your, listen, if you're into not, you know, if you hate food waste, that's okay. But at a wedding, that's when you're bringing it up, at the rehearsal dinner, when the parents are putting you up in the Airbnb. It's rude.
Right. Like, shut the fuck up. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to be honest, it's a deal breaker for me to bring home leftovers from the rehearsal dinner. What the fuck are you bringing those home for?
Were they his? Who was bringing leftovers home?
The family.
That's weird too. Now that I think
that's
about
weird
that.
Too.
That's also
I'm breaking up with both of them. I don't know. The family's
cheaper.
Bringing
it's like cheap and cheaper. Yeah. I don't need breakfast. Yeah, I'll just have the food that was sitting out last night. That's how you know. Think about that. I think about the lowest point of my like disgustingness, like college phase. And it's like when you'd eat the leftover pizza that was like out from the night before, the morning after when you're hungover.
I mean, so many times I did that past college too. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
these
when I heard
still look okay.
Yeah, why not? Just a few hours.
Yeah, I imagine doing that at someone else's like house in there. Ugh, that's gross.
From the garbage.
That's disgusting.
It is deal breaker for him for bringing it up. That's more the deal breaker for me. Is like you have to put your like your moral, you know, whatever on this whole thing. Superiority. Yeah. You know, you can feel however you feel, but you're at a group event. And then deal breaker for her parents bringing home food from the rehearsal dinner. Where the fuck is this going? Like, what are you going to do with this food? Like, how good is rehearsal dinner food?
I guess it's still weird. Still weird. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah. Let's do another.
They're like, I paid for it. I'm bringing it.
I'll be like, come on.
78,
it's the rehearsal dinner.
78 plastic containers, if possible. The boyfriend's just having a heart attack in the corner.
Yeah, they didn't use the plastic.
Do you have any plastic straws for my take-home drink?
I have this turtle I need to murder outside. Anyone
exactly. Hi, Jane J. Love the way you both approach dating issues with nuance, so I would love your perspective on if the lie my boyfriend told is a red flag or deal breaker. My boyfriend had a tumultuous relationship with one of his exes who keeps reinitiating conversation with him, and she recently texted him, "Hey, how's it going?" To which I asked him to simply not reply. He agreed, and when I asked him about this again 2 weeks later, he told me / showed me his phone, which showed no further communication. However, my intuition was telling me that he was not being honest, and for peace of mind, I asked him to show me the conversation on his laptop as well. This sounds like unhealthy.
I mean,
turns out he deleted the messages.
She blames it on intuition.
It's
you know,
so
us
funny.
Women.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny. Just like how every person in this situation is acting dysfunctionally at every point. Like all of them.
I actually think he's the least dysfunctional of the two, but go on.
Just fucking inspector, like investigator. He turns out he deleted the messages on his phone and actually did reply. His iMessage from his laptop showed that he responded, "Hey, I'm not trying to be sketchy. I'm still with my girlfriend." And she responded saying she wasn't trying to be sketchy. She just wanted to catch up, to which he stopped responding at that point. I asked him why he deleted his responses on his phone and texted her back when I asked him not to, and he said he knew she would just keep texting if he didn't shut it down. Part of me wants to end this relationship since he acted in a way that he knew would hurt my feelings, and then he tried to cover it up. But the other part of me feels crazy for ending what is otherwise a great relationship over a text that was ultimately inconsequential. If you have any thoughts on the situations, I would love to hear. Sincerely, Lie Detector.
Well, I mean, she has trust issues.
I mean, she has trust issues. He lies, and they're not a good match.
Well, do you think he lies because, like, to me, I understand where he's coming from.
I don't like that he wrote, "I'm still with my girlfriend." It's like saying, "I'm still at the bank." It's like you plan on leaving. Like I don't like the "I'm still with" answer, even though it's like
That's
not
fair.
That. Fucked up, but it's kind of to me shows like he's saying like I'm still here, I'll text you when I'm not with my girlfriend. There's like a little bit of that like I'm not, he's like sort of half shutting it down thing, but it's kind of like she doesn't trust him. Sounds like she has sort of a reason to not trust him, but also like I think her distrust of him feeds into him lying more. Like he didn't think she'd be okay with that interaction. He's like totally. Scared of her.
A little yes. bit. Yes. That's why I empathize with him, but I think you're right. The I'm still with my girlfriend is like, yeah, we're still going and I'll let you know when I'm
right
out of this thing. It does have that vibe to it. It doesn't hit right. I will say his lie is because I just think when you say to someone, I don't want you to text your ex, there's two ways to say it. It makes me feel bad when you text your ex.
Right.
Figure out how to end it. Or it's do not text your ex. And, right. and
let me see
and
the laptop.
Let me see your computer. Let me see your laptop. You know, those right. are two different, very similar, but not the same. Like if you said to him, figure out how to end this because it makes me feel bad or I have to end this relationship. That's a more powerful, confident position.
Right. And it's also like he's going to do it for the right reasons as opposed yes. to like now he's like answering to his teacher gave him an assignment and he's trying to like figure out how to do it in a way that was going to keep him out of trouble on both ends as opposed yes. to like it makes me feel bad when she texts you and I feel insecure about our relationship. Like that's a different real vulnerable conversation as opposed to like don't answer.
Yeah, because then she has to like kind of wait for the next or she just has to move on from it and trust him, which she was never going to do.
Right. But I don't know how trustworthy he necessarily like I can see like it's kind of like one thing feeds into itself. Right. Where he's mm-hmm. like. Because he's like also not trust. I'm not saying it's her fault because he did lie to her, but mm-hmm. it's kind of just like the dynamic of their relationship is clearly one where like he's scared of her. She's like, she doesn't trust him. And so mm-hmm. it all feeds into each other. So he doesn't feel like he could have shown her that text because she'd be mad at him for answering because it has to be her way. So I just think it's like dysfunctional on multiple levels and might just, I think both of them need to learn how to like communicate better.
Yeah. Cause I was thinking of just his text being like, listen, if I had an ex texting me and I was with someone else, I would feel a need to put like a lid on the other situation and not just like
not answer.
Because I would assume that he's been a part of this. He, you know, the texting with her. It's not just her texting him over and over. Maybe before these two were in a relationship, how long were they together? You know, he was texting with her on and off, and then he finds someone new and you're a better connection. You guys start dating. And now the on and off thing he was kind of involved with before when it was okay and now it's not okay and he's got to put a lid on it. Like I can understand that, but
he didn't communicate that. He should have communicated that to the girlfriend instead of just
but she doesn't sound like someone that was ready to hear.
Well,
that
that's
story.
The kind of thing. It's kind of yeah. like they're both not communicating like effectively and honestly or with any like vulnerability. Like the way the way the same scenario goes down in a healthy relationship is like she's like, it really makes me feel bad when you text your ex. And it just feels really like inappropriate. And I really would rather you like stop doing that. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to text her this because like, I do feel bad. I'm committed to being with you. And I'm just going to text her back and let her know that we're together. And that's all I'll say. And that would have been how a healthy version of this went out. But instead it was like, she was like, don't text her back. And he was like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? There's just an unhealthy communication method. So I think deal breaker for both of them.
I agree with you. Let's do one more.
Okay.
This one rubbed me wrong.
This one annoyed me on your behalf. I felt irritated for you.
Red flag or deal breaker? He has a problem that your favorite comedian looks and sounds a lot like your ex-husband. In my defense, I was a fan of the pod for quite a while before seeing a picture of Jared, but it was a bit of a shock. And then she sent a picture of her ex-husband.
Okay, this guy doesn't look anything like you.
Google Reese Davis from College Game Day. That's who he looks like.
I'm Googling that.
There is this thing where anyone with dark hair and dark eyebrows is just an immediate lookalike to other people.
I don't even think he looks like this guy.
No?
That was who I was like,
that's Reese Davis.
Maybe a little. He looks like that guy more than he looks like you, but I don't even think he looks like that guy.
Fine. But I looked at this and I was like, okay. So to me, this is the emailer saying that her now boyfriend has an issue that I look, that she likes me.
I don't know how
me.
He sounds. Maybe he sounds like you. I don't know.
Maybe he sounds like me, and it makes the whole thing more of a lookalike situation.
Right.
So your boyfriend has an issue that the podcast you listen to has a co-host who looks and sounds like the ex-husband?
Yeah. That she, she calls it her favorite comedian looks and sounds like her ex-husband. I could, okay, so let's make this a little more relatable. Let's say you're dating someone and they have an ex-wife and their biggest celebrity crush, and again, this doesn't look like you, but does look and sound exactly like their ex-wife.
I would assume, I mean, do I look like their celebrity? Could I? Am I in the same phylum as the celebrity crush? I'm way outside.
Not necessarily worse, just like different. You don't look like them at all.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, no, you're with me. I don't. Also, like, she didn't even say crush. She just likes the show.
Right. Favorite comedian.
Yeah. I what kind of problem could be had? I don't know. What do you think?
I think I would think it was a little weird if it's like Mike's favorite Instagram model looks just like his ex-girlfriend and like I'm here. Like I could see it might be like find it a little weird, but I also would be like fine with it.
Yeah.
But I think it's fine.
Also, not knowing until you looked up a picture, it's more of a coincidence.
Red flag or deal breaker, they send you this picture and they think it looks exactly like you.
Deal breaker, you're gone.
I guess
if you
too.
Send me any picture of someone you think looks like me, I hate it.
Even if they're the hottest person ever?
Nobody wants to be told who they look like. Unless you are positive this is the most compliments of compliments, you should just pull it back. Pull it back.
I could agree. Yeah, unless it's like a world-renowned hot person. Unless they've been on the Sexiest Man Alive, Sexiest Woman Alive cover, pass.
I want to live in my own delusion, and I think most people do.
Yes. Also, this doesn't look like you. I'm going to... say
I agree.
I don't know if we could share it because it might be unethical, but it doesn't look
like
I
think
you.
We don't thank you. I didn't think so, but I looked at it, I was like, I don't think this looks like me at all. And then but I was also like, I guess we're not even addressing the real red flag deal breaker of this is his jealousy.
Yeah, very weird.
Like if Mike had a problem that you enjoyed a podcast of someone that looked like an ex.
Yeah, I think this whole thing is like bizarre and it's fine
and being put in my lap to be my problem,
right?
That's agreed. The annoying part
anyway, not red flag or deal breaker
no.
If that you can't bad vision and you think someone looks so much like someone that it's not them.
Well, we solved dating again, Jordana.
I'm proud of us. We did it
People, if you're listening right now, that means you like the show. Share. Let a friend know. We're here every Wednesday and Sunday. And we'll be back on Sunday.
Yes. Bye.
You Up is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Maddie Paul. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at You Up Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And send us your emails to youup@betches.com.
Betches.